that they're giving out daily. That means our money is dead, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. No wonder they are out of middle class is going under, when the ones above them gotta cover and come to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken. Every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait, welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rains Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12:05 to 1:30. And also want to quickly remind you right up the front, today is the meetup, the Bradenton Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Meetup, coming up this afternoon at 3:30 p.m. at Mocha Joe's on Cortez Road. And we'll have a special guest who will also be on the show in just a little while. Well, this is your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and what's happened. Well, is it a recovery or isn't it? It looked that way earlier in the week, not so much now, but not really decisive either way as the bulls and bears fight it out throughout this week. Bank of America says cryptocurrencies are a material risk to their business. I'm sure that had nothing to do with why it won't let you buy Bitcoin or anything else crypto with your Bank of America credit cards. Bitcoin fees are going down, finally. What does that all mean to you and to Bitcoin? And move over, Venezuela, Iran, and Turkey want in on the state cryptocurrency bandwagon. And that's just the start. Proof of stake versus proof of work mining. You may have heard of it, but we have a guest coming up at 12:45 that will also be a guest at the meetup. We'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But let's see who's here to help us sort through all this today. Co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com, TradingView columnist, approaching 30,000 followers now, and that, of course, is Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how you doing today, Pete? Henry? Can't even remember your name. It was a long night last night.
Yeah.
Melissa's birthday, we went out and celebrated, and, you know, it's been one of those mornings.
Well, as long as she is happy, that's all that matters.
That's right.
And because if Melissa's happy,
everybody's happy.
Gold Bug's happy. We're happy. And let's see who else is happy today. Come on. Didn't put it. All right, we want to make sure he gets the proper introduction. And how contrary is contrary today? How you doing today, Augie?
Just not as constipated as that music.
Oh.
That's too much information there.
Well, that's your intro. You find whatever will help you with your flow here, just on the radio. Just let me know, and we'll create a new intro for you right there. And this one still seems to be appropriate. Solis Digital Assets, Alex Solis in the house, bringing us a coin of the week later. Hey, Alex.
How's everybody doing? It's Lambo time.
Hey, you had that good a week?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to say it into the mic because, you know, take ownership of this. You know, if you're saying you did well enough to get your Lambo.
Oh, it's almost Lambo time. I see two more weeks.
Two more weeks.
Hey, that's way ahead of me. I'm still driving a 71 Ford pickup.
It's classic.
It is a classic, and I love it. My dogs look good in it, too.
I only know the one dog. How many dogs you got?
I got two. Two. One's Georgie. He's deaf and a rescue dog and just a big lover. And then I got Aria, who is a longtime girlfriend. They both sleep with me every night. The only women that can sleep with me.
Haven't fixed that snoring thing, huh?
Wow.
So who on now your Seeking Crypto's Facebook profile picture has changed, but which dog was on the picture for people that were going to that Facebook page a couple weeks ago?
Oh, that's Georgie. He's the he's a deaf dog. And he's spoiled to death. He goes to doggy daycare and he gets more treats than
doggy daycare.
Alex has Lambos.
Why aren't they a sponsor?
Yeah, right? They should. I mean,
so tell us about Georgie's day here at Doggy Daycare, and why does an area feel left out and all that?
You know, Area's a little older. She's going to be 9 this year, and we originally took him there just to give him some energy because he was a young puppy in that, and he just loves his buddies over there, and he plays with the big dogs, and by the time he gets home, he's tired, so that's good for all of us.
So have the other dogs learned how to sign for him so they can communicate?
You know, it's the irony of it, there's like 5 deaf dogs there, and they all hang out in a little group. It's amazing. They must know. I mean, they have that sixth sense. And they all hang out in this little group, in the little deaf dog group. So
they must have all done radio in the past, because that's one of the things that happens if you do radio too long.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's funny. I just for years I'd be here and I can hear everybody and go home to my family and they'd be like, "Quit mumbling! Come on, speak up!"
Yep.
And they're like, "You need to get your hearing checked." And I'm like, "What do you mean? At work, I hear everybody fine."
Well, it's funny because you still talk to them, you know.
Augie looked like he was chomping at the bit to say something, but we'll go on right now to the next segment.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, as many things are in the Bitcoin cryptocurrency world, anything I put on the rundown at 12 o'clock last night has probably changed by now, and it has, but we'll update you as we go through this. Bitcoin is witnessing a minor corrective rally on Friday, but the bulls have had a tough time regaining control, charts say. At this time, it's actually changed again. All right, so when this was putting into the rundown, just to give you a little pre and post-production insight here. So when I was doing this last night, the Bitcoin price index was at $9,592, the lowest level for the week. As of the writing of the article I was looking at, it was 10,000, almost even. Then after that I did this, it rose up to about 10,5, 10,6, and now it's down around 9,800. So if you can follow all that, That's where we've sort of been most of the week since its weekly high back on Tuesday. It appears a relief rally has gathered pace, a move indicated by the bullish relative strength index as seen on the chart that this analysis was done. Bitcoin is stuck inside a falling channel. Now, we're going to have Goldbug explain all this to you in a second, but let me set up the terminology here. Bitcoin is stuck inside a falling channel, creating lower lows and lower highs. However, the relative strength index continues to diverge in favor of the bulls, so the corrective rally could be extended forward further towards 10,250, which it did pass, which I thought, oh, we're in the clear. We're going to have a great morning. But not to be fulfilled. So, Andy, a.k.a. GoldBug1, and for those of you that want to be up to date on his latest thought process as well as his cohorts, and not these cohorts in the studio, his cohorts in the virtual world of the web. You go to seekingcryptos.com, and you can also find him on tradingview.com. A lot of easy ways to comment on what he's saying there. So, first of all, that whole verbiage there of technical analysis, the Bitcoin stuck inside a falling channel, creating lower lows and lower highs. Well, we can sort of picture that. But then the relative strength index continues to diverge in favor of the bulls. And then if I went farther, it would say that the 10-day moving average is moving towards the 50-day moving average, or the 50 is moving to the 200-day. How does that all mean?
Well, you know, I don't look at it like that. And I do look at the RSI, because that just...
And relative strength index. So what does that mean?
Well, it's just it looks at the price. It looks at the previous price points and sees if the momentum's going up or if it's going down. So... the relative strength index is, and I don't use it like most
people
do.
Does that include volume or anything?
No, it does include volume, I believe. And but you know, I read a good book on it. And you read some of these indicators, and there's books on them. And I read it by Constance Brown, and she was a great analyst. And The loan hold is between 40 and 80. It's a bullish market, and you trade the RSI between 40 and 80. 40 you're buying, 80 you're selling, and then
as though the market's going to go up.
As the market's going to go up, and then in a bearish market is between 30 and 60. So you can trade both ways there. So you can trade in a bull market or a bear market.
So you'd be shorting it on in the lower numbers.
Well, you can't short Bitcoin in the United States. So the only thing you can do
the
is
futures. Then
that's correct. So. But all these indicators, regardless of what they are, they're all historical things. They don't tell you what's happening now. So when I look at the chart here, and I'm looking at it right now, the one by my good buddy Mark P. Markets.
Hey, where can you find his stuff?
Yeah, you can find it on TradingView, but you can find all of his updates on SeekingCryptos.com.
I mean,
that's correct, SeekingCryptos.com. And it is... Off the bottom, we've made a higher high and a higher low, which is positive. And you're always going to get some pullbacks. We're still up 50% since the low. I mean, and that's what in 2 weeks. I mean, that's pretty good. As a parallel, the Nasdaq is up 10% off its low in a week. You know, and it dropped 12%. So these markets pick up pretty quick, and I think that was an extreme low. And you can see that the buyers have come in, and we're starting to see some strength. Now, we haven't broke that upper resistance level yet. A lot of people call it a trend line. I don't call it a trend line. It's an upper resistance line. It has to have more than 4 points to be a trend. People connect two lines and think it's a trend. That's not a trend to me. But, it's a resistance level for sure. What I see here is that we're completing a short correction. In the previous bull move from
now, when you're talking about a short correction, you're talking about a short correction for this week.
For this week, well, since the move from 8,100, from 8,100, that was last week. We moved up to, and it was right before the weekend, and we rallied nicely over the weekend last weekend. And then
on last week's show, you were saying I want to see it go past 8,500 or something, and I was like, it did, and then I was like, yes,
well, actually,
we're in the money.
2 weeks ago, yeah. So finally, we're in the money.
When you say resistance level, does that mean reluctance level?
Well, it's a level that you look to see if there's a if it resists and pulls back, and it's usually you draw the two top, and that's what people do, is they draw the two top points, and they draw a line between it and extend it down and go, that's a resistance level. I don't look at it like that. I never have, but that's just me. Some people do. I'm more looking into long-term trends because I'm a long-term investor, and I want to see in a broader perspective of the market, where the market's moving. The market's still bullish. I know everyone's calling, it's the bear market and all that, but this is just a correction. And we're seeing some consolidation before we move higher, and that's in all markets. Go ahead, Augie.
How much there's been an indication that people want to move away from electrical dependence on the mining. Where is that going?
Well, it's just like anything else. As technology improves, you're going to see the cost of having to mine move down. If you remember back in the day when we first had our first computers, those things were 1,200 watts. Now you've got a computer, a monitor, and a TV running in your room, and you're not breaking 400. So as technology improves.
And really, in the second half of the show, when Joseph Gehrman, who I should have given his name out, of J Squared LLC, comes in, he actually is an expert on both proof-of-stake mining and the pros and cons of proof-of-work mining, and he's going to give us all kinds of knowledge in the second half. We'll just hold that for then.
So, anyways, we have a target of 13,000, somewhere in there, between 12,500 and 13,000. And then we're gradually going to stair step up. You're going to see, an increase, and then you pull back a little bit, and then it moves higher. As long as you're hitting higher highs and higher lows, you're moving in the right direction, and we appear to be moving in that direction now.
And really, I would think that it's a positive thing that the time frame is so strange on this compared to stocks or other commodities that you might have, because it's so compressed. But the fact that we've been in the same range for a little over a week is like a positive thing, which is no time at all in the stock market.
Well, someone mentioned that there's a lot of low volume. They thought that was a bearish thing. And to me, is if you're staying steady on low volume, that means there's good support. There's people that are done selling. Nobody wants to sell anymore. And you just need those buyers to come in, And they will come in. However, last week the stock market did great. So money was risked on into stocks. So it flowed away from gold and it flew away, you know, it flowed away from the cryptocurrencies. And I don't think people realize that cryptocurrencies are becoming something that is traded, especially the big three, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin, and even Bitcoin Cash, just because, you know, they're accessible and people are using them more. When Fidelity and those have, you know, Bitcoin net on their trading platforms, though you can't trade them, that's giving people, that's, you know, psychologically hitting them, I'm going to open a Coinbase up and trade. And so you're seeing money, you know, just transfer back and forth in the market.
This is very anecdotal, but two different short anecdotes here. I was at Publix yesterday, and I know the guy behind the meat cutter there, and he asked what I was doing. Of course, I've made a somewhat of a career change, if you want to call it that, recently, because I knew him from my old job. Well, I was managing a medical practice, so I didn't have to give you his name. He was a patient there, so we talked. And he goes, oh, yeah, I've got some. And I said, really? I said, well, did you buy before December? Because, really, anybody that bought after Christmas is pretty disappointed right now.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, a little bit before that. He goes, I just put a couple $100. I said, what, in Coinbase? He goes, yeah, I bought some Bitcoin and Litecoin. And so if you know those prices, you know, he might have gotten a half a Litecoin or a quarter of a Litecoin and some tiny fraction of a Bitcoin. And he goes, just letting it sit there. Because at least he was wise, if not deliberately. He only put, his friend told him to do it, and he just put a couple $100 there. He wasn't going to worry about it. So he may come out all right, and we'll see where he is in a year from now, and maybe he has enough to take his significant other out to dinner. And then at the little mom-and-pop restaurant that I eat at right down the street from the house, mom said, you're talking about Bitcoin. Said, yeah, she goes, I bought a little bit of Bitcoin. So it's really countless number of people that have bought just a couple $100 or something similar, and they're just sitting on it, and who knows which way they're going to wind up going when things move. Alex, you know, you don't have too many $200 clients, I'm taking it.
No. Usually the younger crowd's like that. Like somebody's like in the 20s, they usually, that's how much they can afford. But the older crowd, that's probably 20 grand or more. My average is probably 100K.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Now, wait.
That's more my whole net worth.
Nah, come on. Now, that just doesn't seem demographically possible.
Yeah,
not because of your expertise, but just...
Listen, he'd be at 500 if I wasn't one of his clients.
it's crazy because most of my clients have, like, a million times more net worth than me. Like, they have planes and stuff. I couldn't, like, so many people just...
How did you meet these people?
They call me up. A lot of it's referrals. Like, hey, this guy did a good job. Call him, give him a call. He'll help you out with your accounts and stuff. They trust me too. You know, it's not like they're I'm giving them investment advice, but I'm helping them manage their accounts, make sure their money's safe, transferring it safe. You know, and these people when they send
security,
because when you send $50,000,
security rather.
Yeah, when you send $50,000 from exchange to exchange, you really don't want to do it alone. You know, if you just got in the game.
I tell you what, that is true. And whenever I'm going to one of those freaky exchanges, the first person I call is Alex. Alex, get the hell over here. I'll buy you McDonald's.
He does. Yeah, and he's awesome.
All right. Well, let's go to a break.
Oh, wait a minute. What is you say your average investor is?
The total amount they put in?
Average.
I'd say 90% of my clients, about 50 to 100,000. And everyone else is maybe 20,000 or less.
Wow. You know?
And that's usually the young crowd.
So 9 out of 10 clients have $50,000 to $100,000 or more in crypto.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to realize that Alex has been advising them since last year. And so if you put 10,000 in last year, you probably got 100 grand in there now.
Yeah,
and especially with some of the calls he's made.
A lot of people made a lot of money. And also, I had one guy got in at 2014. I couldn't imagine. He had over 1,000 bitcoins.
Oh, my God.
He's like, man, I need someone to help me get this out and move it. I couldn't. The amount was astronomical. And that was when Bitcoin was like 5,000. I can imagine when it went.
So he had 2,000 Bitcoin?
Yeah, I think it was like 1,400 and something.
Okay, so we've got a case study.
That blew
here.
My mind. Literally blew my mind.
If you just dumped it all, you know, it might not be advantageous price wise. You might actually could you move the market?
You think would move the market. 1,400 would move the market.
What did he do? Did he just diversify? Did he go to cash?
No. I don't know what he did, but I know he had me transfer them around to certain exchanges. And I don't want to say which ones to, you know, keep.
Did he move into more than one exchange?
Yeah, yeah, because he was freaking out, and he's like, he was so paranoid. You should have seen him. He drove a piece of crap car. I could not. It was a little two-door, little junk car, and I didn't believe him at first. And I seen his account. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then when Bitcoin went to 20K, I thought about him. I'm like, this dude's buku rich now. You know, because
he was buku rich before then.
And now he's jumped off a bridge.
Now he's, you know.
You know, I even had clients last year that they bought their daughter Bitcoin for graduation, bought her like 500 of them when Bitcoin was like 2015. And she's driving a brand new Camaro, the Batman version. Like, it was super sick. She's like, yeah, my dad bought me Bitcoin. Because, you know, when they go to the ATM, I always talk to the people. And then some become my clients, some become my friends. But it's just
a big federal ATM.
Yeah, by
our
federal,
sponsors.
Yeah, Bike Federal is awesome. I love that place. That's a great company.
And, big news on them. Next time we can get them into the studio.
Yeah, I know. They're so busy.
Yeah. Well, let's go to a break, and we'll come back, get away from pricing news, and get into some of the more substance that's going on in the market. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show. Remember, the meetup is coming up at 3:30 this afternoon at Mocha Joe's, Braden and Bitcoin Cryptocurrency Meetup.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raine Show.
I drink a cup of coffee and start the combing of my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
This segment of The Henry Raine Show is brought to you by Bite Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you.
It's The Henry Raine Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM in the studio. Alex Solis, Solis Digital Assets, the Contrarian. Augie is in the studio, and Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy, TradingView columnist and co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com. One last thing before we go into some of the other news of the day. Still around the price, Brian Kelly on Tuesday, all the way back on Tuesday when the world was bright and sunny for Bitcoin, and it was at 11.7 before it did its little retracement and hopefully coming back again, he had some benchmarks to look out for in the coming weeks of what he was saying were going to be things that would move the market. I was on the break. I was just going to the Google News section and hitting cryptocurrency. You know it's slow because all the news is the same thing I was looking at yesterday. And
yeah.
24 hours, usually there's got to be a crisis every 24 hours with crypto.
There's a ban
somewhere. Or euphoria, something. You know, either despair or euphoria seems to be the
ban, you know.
No, it's just like, yeah, another day. Well, anyway, here's what Brian Kelly had to say from courtesy of CNBC.
Let's go ahead and end with Bitcoin surging today with CBOE Bitcoin futures hitting their highest level in about 3 weeks. And our next guest says that there are a few key events to watch for that could give Bitcoin even a bigger boost. A very special welcome to Fast Money trader Brian Kelly, making his futures now debut. BK.
Thanks for having me. A very special thank you.
All right, let's get straight to it. What's behind today's rally in Bitcoin?
Well, you've had over the last couple of weeks a real change in tone on the regulatory front. If you remember, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were concerned about South Korea. We can see what the U.S. was going to do. And the U.S. has come out with pro-cryptocurrency regulations in Wyoming. They've just passed a bill that are pro-cryptocurrency. And then just overnight, we saw South Korea talk about how they're going to encourage and support cryptocurrency trading, which is almost 180 degrees from where they were 2 or 3 weeks ago. So the sentiment has changed here, which to me is going to start bringing in more investors to this.
Right. It sounds like the regulation here has actually had a positive note to it when investors were pricing in that it would be negative, that it would be some sort of crackdown on the cryptos.
Right. And crackdown is exactly the right word, Jackie, right? That has such a negative connotation. But what the SEC and the CFTC said is said, listen, this is an innovative new technology. We don't want to stifle innovation. But at the same time, we want to make sure that investors aren't defrauded. And that's exactly the right stance. That's exactly what crypto investors wanted them to say. And so it's a very positive tone for the market.
All right. And if you've been following the show, especially the last couple of weeks, that was in our analysis and discussion. One thing before we leave the pricing that we didn't talk about is that the fork of Litecoin occurred, or at least the fork that was getting all the publicity. Litecoin Cash has come and gone, and some people have been able to access it. It's trading on one exchange, at least, anyway, and, of course, peer-to-peer. Alex, do you have any update for us on Litecoin Cash? Any of your customers, clients, rather, traded it? Did they receive it? What happened with that?
No, but I did see on the news that it did go up. Like, it did go on a run.
Well, yeah, it ran from, I think, $1 or $2 to $9, and back down to $5, and yeah. Depending on, you know, but which, of course, that $5.10 for Litecoin, that's $50, which would be, at the current rate, would give you 25% more value in your
5% anyways if you sold at the right time, yeah. Of course,
well,
you know, you have to have your stuff, you know, either on a private wallet, exchange it to an exchange, and you have to, you know what, it's not worth it for the risk.
Unless you call me, I'll help you out to do it.
And if I was going to do it, I would call Alex. But you
so
know,
for digital assets, he's on Facebook.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it, though, unless you have like 500 like.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why mess with it? It's, you know, going to zero.
If you had 100, it would still be $500.
Yeah, I agree. If you had 100, but then it's 100 times, 200, so you have to have a lot of Litecoin. You know, you have to buy a lot of Litecoin. Unless you
anyways, I would agree with Brian Kelly, and we've been saying it, you know, all of us have been saying it for months now that regulation is good for cryptocurrencies. Going forward, this is a very positive move. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say I was wrong. I thought China would lead the cryptocurrency movement. I really did. My money was on China. And I will have to say the United States did it. When they had that public hearing and those guys came out with the SEC and the CBOE, and I mean, they really set the tone internationally. For you either, you know, come to your grips with this, or we're going to, you know, the United States is going to take the lead. And so then you saw South Korea all of a sudden have a light stance, and you're going to start to see other countries do it as well. So, I mean,
well,
the United States took the forefront of it. I was really happy with that.
Yes, that's true. Of course, the real leader has been Japan with their legalization of it as a currency. But someone that isn't all excited, or some entity that isn't all excited about the way the direction is going, is Bank of America. It cited cryptocurrency as a material risk to its business. That was in their annual filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. It said the technology could hamper the bank's ability to comply with anti-money laundering regulations, pose a competitive threat, and force the company to spend more money to keep up with the times. It was referenced three times in their annual filing. First was the anti-money laundering, know your customer sanctions and the foreign corruption laws. Our ability to comply with these laws is dependent upon our ability to improve detection and reporting capabilities and reduce variation in control processes and oversight accountability.
That's bull crap.
Well, and we have other entities that don't seem to have a problem with it.
Yeah, it's a bunch of bull crap. You know, the banks are nervous, and they should be. But I tell you what, Bank of America, with all the hoopla they just put out there, Bank of America is sitting pretty for the cryptocurrency market. If I was to buy a bank stock, which I'm not because I just don't like bank stocks right now, Bank of America would be it. Over J.P. Morgan, and I'm a big J.P. Morgan fan. I'm a big Jamie Dimon fan.
Well, they have patented their own cryptocurrency exchange.
Yeah, they are leading the bank. They are leading the banks in that.
This is a Jamie Dimon move. It's no good, but I'm buying it.
Yeah, exactly. In fairness to Jamie Dimon, I don't think that J.P. Morgan is buying it and all the hoopla where they had a big order going over to Switzerland or something.
That was for clients.
That was one of their clients, I'm sure. They have the same thing.
Well, not one of their clients. They've been offering that service to clients over
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
And in Europe, speaking of leadership, they do have something like exchange-traded funds that you can buy, too. They're based in Switzerland, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. And Switzerland's ahead of the, is so far ahead of the rest of the world in banking, which is why they're the leader.
When does that become a revelation?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. I mean, and so you don't. It doesn't surprise you to see that they are leading the world in.
In another part of the report, they talk about new competitors. Bank of America talks about new competitors, and express caution about client preferences. They say clients may choose to conduct business with other market participants who engage in business or other products in areas we deem speculative or risky, such as cryptocurrencies.
Well. That's right at, I'm going to tell you what, that hits right. And cryptocurrencies hits right at the heart of merchant services. And I don't think people know out there how much restaurants and small businesses pay credit card charges to these banks. I mean, I'll just tell you, our little restaurant alone, it's almost 3% a month of our credit card sales goes to the credit card processing companies.
And say a small business is running at 6% profit, that means they could increase their profit by 50%.
That's all profit. I mean, that is all profit. And so cryptocurrency, that's what's going to make.
So how do you get the customer to have the wherewithal to buy your product in your restaurant?
Well, we'll go to that in a second. Let me get to the third part here because that actually addresses what you are. And then the third part in the Bank of America SEC filing. The widespread adoption of new technologies, including Internet services, cryptocurrency, and payment systems, could require substantial expenditures to modify or adapt our existing products and services. So they see it coming. And then, of course, Bank of America just recently banned credit card purchases for cryptocurrency. If you use your debit card, they're going to put a surcharge on it.
Yeah.
But they are a prolific filer of patent applications for blockchain and, as we said, a cryptocurrency exchange. So that's the answer to Augie's question.
Well, I can't even remember what Augie's question is. I'm getting that old.
Yeah, well, restate it for everybody, Augie.
Well, what's my question? No, I guess my question goes to the point of the customer wanting to buy a Mocha Joe's coffee or whatever has got to have something to do that with if it's going to be Bitcoin-based. Or something.
Absolutely, yeah.
Crypto-based.
Well, okay.
So how do they do that? How do you get them to
be able
to do that?
There's a couple of ways to speed this up a little bit. Because Coinbase just announced they've brought out their merchant services, which will accept any of the four currencies
Majors.
That they have on Coinbase, which is Bitcoin, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, and Ethereum.
Ethereum.
And their fee is 1%. So the person can... transfer that easily at the point of sale. And then actually our own Byte Federal LLC, you can go to ByteFederal.com if you want to find out more. They can do point of sale merchant sales now. And they can use any currency you want.
And I believe theirs is cheaper because you pay a set price.
Well, I don't think we should quote them on the air. They can bring the hardware for you or you can do it online. But, yeah, if you're local or anywhere where you can hear our voice, I should say, you would be local.
So McDonald's, which does give out debit cards for their product, and other people do the same thing, if the debit card is tied to Bitcoin, that seems to be your pathway.
Well, there's already that product now in many forms. Stripe is one of the key ones. But what happens is there's the exchange rate that has to happen immediately or somewhat immediately because most businesses don't want to be at the mercy of the ebb and flow of the market. Now, for example, with Bite Federal, and I think it's flexible on Coinbase too. They can sweep your account to dollars hourly, daily. I don't know if they can do it instantly, but they can eliminate a lot of that risk for you.
Well, most of them do it instantly, and I'm going to tell you, just
BitPay
and those,
but they only do Bitcoin.
Yeah,
and LitePay is out there.
LitePay, I think, is really big for the market because you know most people own. If you're in a cryptocurrency market, you own some Litecoin. I don't care who you are. I mean, everybody owns Litecoin.
I mean, if you're the average merchant who probably got started in Coinbase, they're going to go there. If you want to be ahead of the curve against your competition, you really should contact Bite Federal because they can do everything that Coinbase can do and more. Because
yes.
They can adapt for any currency you want, but ultimately
they won't make that mistake with Coinbase did with Overstock.com.
They have Bitcoin versus Bitcoin Cash. That takes a whole backstory to explain. But the ultimate thing that is going to make this happen is, and there's been talk of it in committee, but it hasn't made it to a bill yet at the level of U.S. Congress, is that Andy's trying to tell me something. I'll let him tell you in a second. We have to at least get the exemption up to $600 for capital gains, because otherwise people will do it, but every time they're making a purchase, they're putting themselves in a tax liability that may get ignored, but it'd be a whole lot better and a lot more reassuring if there was just that law that any purchase up to $600 or $500 even, whatever you want to make it, wasn't subject to capital gains.
Actually, my buddy Bruce from Ohio, hey Bruce. And he's listening, and that was exactly what he just texted me. He goes, every cup of coffee is a taxable event. And as the current laws stand, I believe that is true. I think that you're going to see these coins not go up and down and have so much volatility. They are going to start to, they'll start to trend to a mean.
Stabilize
for sure.
Ben, let's get to this other one before we have to go to the guest.
Sure, just cut me off there, Henry.
Yeah, I will. And thanks for using up another 10 seconds.
Yeah, I know, right? We got a busy schedule. Yeah, I apologize.
It's dollars per second around here, you
right.
know. With our sponsorship rates, it's dollars per second. $26 down to $3. Speaking of dollars per second, Bitcoin fees. The average cost of sending a Bitcoin transaction is cheaper than it has been in a year and a half. And the price isn't the cryptocurrency's only unpredictable metric these days. After the debate about growing fees, which might come as a surprise, it's all gone down, created a whole new version of Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, to deal with that, but also might speak to why Bitcoin Cash is weak on pricing right now. The conflict centered on the fact that while fees are best considered as a transaction cost, there can be paid for delivery, as you said, transferring the money back and forth, but there's also different fees at the miners, which will take us into the next guest. There's a lot of different theories on this. It really comes down to that there just isn't the volume in any of the transactions, any of the currencies, that are creating the backup. And once that happens and you don't have like that flood to Bitcoin Cash a few months ago, the miners sort of work it out. SegWit is being enabled in Coinbase and others. We're going to go to a break, and we'll come back with our guest, Joseph Gehrman, who will be able to explain quite a bit of this to us.
Everything, the network, goodbye.